Fly James Show in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly! Give my creation!
So this was fun.
Here we go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Give me 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Entered in the restricted broadcast area. You have entered in the restricted broadcast.
Country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left. And now here's Guy James. Here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, and Guy James Show. So good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We're a couple of new things here in the studio, so I hope it's working out okay. Shing shows that it's up and running here. Not having the budget, big, huge radio studio. We have to do things on our own, and we hope everything's okay. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's, my God, it's December. Hard to believe that December is here already. December the 2nd. Say, do you know what? We haven't decided. Today's the 2nd, so that makes next Tuesday the 9th. We are coming December 7th, actually, anniversary with the show. That's right, December 7th will be our six-year anniversary. So we're trying to decide anniversary show on Thursday or wait until next Tuesday. Anniversary show on Thursday or wait until next Tuesday to do it. I don't know. We'll just tell you what we do on that. I'm not sure. But anyway, we'd like to get a few of the old guests on if we can. We'd like to possibly get Mike. And those of you that remember way back when we first started, they're probably long, that we had Mike as a co-host every once in a while. We're going to try and get Mike, although I know he's working on Thursday and on Tuesday, but he'd live here anymore. But we can arrange that technically. We'll see. My goodness, lots of back and forth going on with the people at the inaugural event. What a mess that must be to try and plan. I've mentioned to you we're going to Radio Row and broadcast from, do the show from there on Tuesday and probably Wednesday, the way it looks. But they're telling us that it's going to be difficult for guests to get there and all of that. So the numbers of people who are going to show up is, well, it's going to be challenging, challenging to say the least. But we've done that, and so does Barack Obama, a month and, 18 days to get everything settled down so he can start in a timely and efficient manner, have a smooth changeover, as smooth as one presidential administration to another can possibly be. Man, it's not like he's walking into a bed of roses, is it? Certainly not. I don't know that a president has ever wanted to been elected in any way. Harry Truman certainly was in a mess when he took over because of the death of Franklin Roosevelt. But to be elected at a time like this, and Roosevelt was at a very bad time in 32, elected, but at least he wasn't. We didn't have people in foreign lands at war at the time. So Obama has a daunting task ahead of, at the very least, a daunting task, and it's going to be interesting to see if everybody's up to the challenge. I think they will be. I think he's coming up with a good... I know the talk shows have to have something to talk. And they complain And they complain about this and complain. I do my share of, I have my share of complaints about things. Oh, that we're hearing a lot of flack, especially from people Obama has made, that this isn't changed, people being recycled. Hey, give it a chance. Give it a chance. It's Barack Obama's directives that are going to matter in this. These people seem to carry out his plan, his vision for America, not theirs. So let's do give him a chance. Let's give these people a chance. They will do. We get a few months into this, and it's not going the way we want. If he's not turning the direction that we think he ought to be trying to go, at least, why then we can jump on that bandwagon and we can criticize. But right now, let's give him a break. Let's give him the honeymoon that he deserves. Let's let these appointments lead. I know a lot of people weren't in favor of keeping Gates. A lot of people weren't in favor of this person or that person in this new administration. Give it a chance. Like I said, it's not their ideas that's important for the change. It's Barack Obama's. And I believe that the man is tough enough, he's forceful enough, he's intelligent enough, that they will follow his directives and their ass quickly, such as this man, Barack Obama. So let's hang on. Hang on in 6546-5254 if you'd like to join us here in the program. 6546-5254 program. Big news. And just hold on. Hold on for dear life when I tell you this. This is huge. Just hold the phone. I've got an announcement to blow your socks off, okay? I've been completely blindsided about this myself. You aren't going to believe it. Despite what you've been hearing for the last year or so, year, 18 months, we now know that we are in a recession. It was announced yesterday. Who knew? It kind of turns out that our lying eyes were right all along. Our government, Mr. Bush and Cheney and Mr. Paulson, Mr. Bernanke and others, just can't believe they would have lied to us like this. Hang on. Right under our noses, and we didn't know it. Then I did hear George Will say yesterday that it's not really a big problem because most people are okay. Most people are paying their mortgages. Most people are working. Hey, George, I have news for you. On 9/11, most people in New York were okay. After World War II, most people were still alive. Most people lived. What an educated idiot George Will is. We'll probably talk about him a little bit more in the program. But a recession. I just can't believe it. They wait until the very end of the Bush administration to announce that, yes, indeed, we are in a recession. Who would have thunk it? I don't know about you, but I've seen my friends and neighbors lose their jobs. I've seen my friends and neighbors lose their homes. I've seen all sorts of economic enough to tell me a long time ago that we were in dire financial straits and financial catastrophe. And now, the Bush finds out that we are indeed in a recession. They've denied it. They've announced from the press corps, from the White House press office, Mr. Cheney said we're not in a recession. We've got a little bit of a slow going on here. We've had Mr. Bush say, yeah, things are a little slow. And we find out we've got the worst recession possibly since the Depression. In fact, and Mr. Bush becomes the first president ever to have two recessions in during his term. In modern days, at least. Well, I did want to mention today about the right-wing crazies, Hannity now. I'm going to talk about Hannity. He's the guy. If there's anybody out there in talk radio, it would be Mr. Hannity that I despise everything he stands for, because he's either the consummate liar or he believes in what he says. And if he does believe in what he says, then he's a very, very dangerous man, this Hannity, because he's got millions of people listening to him. He's stupid. And I'll say that. I'm a kid around. I'm not going to pussyfoot around and say, oh, well, these people may be a little bit just, they don't, they're impressionable. They may be otherwise intelligent. No. the people sit and listen to Sean Hannity and believe his shtick, if it's shtick or if he actually believes it, these people can idiots. I'll say it. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. If you're from Harvard, Yale, or Stanford, or if you've graduated from, if you sit and listen to Sean and you suck up what he has to say, you are an. He talks a lot about how Fannie and, you know, that all these people are responsible for this big mess that we've had and into it, particularly the Bush administration. And here we find out now that the Bush administration actually backed off proposed crackdowns on no money down, interest only mortgages years before the economy collapsed. Buckling to pressure from some of the same banks that have now. It ignored warnings that foretold the financial meltdown. And this is according to the Associated Press Review of Regulatory Documentation. California mortgage lender Paris Welch wrote to the U.S. regulators in January of 2006 before the housing implosion costing her job, and she said, expect fallout, expect foreclosure, expect... And so the administration was warned. We're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute trying to sort out a technical issue here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, a lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing. Somewhere beyond the sea, she's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond the star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond the doubt, my just as before, it will be beyond the sea. Now go see.
Got much on my mind. ain't got much on my mind, 'cause I know something good this way comes. Now watch. Got my window open wide. I got my window open wide. Got a good woman by my side. Got a good woman by my side. Now this kind of day has no night. Yeah, this kind of day has no night. And I ain't got much on my. I ain't got much on my mind. Something good this way comes.
No.
I'm watching the snow in the shade of the summer sun. In the shade of the summer sun. Eat apple pie on the stove. That stove. The birds, they're all. The birds, they're all flying low. Something good this way comes. Yeah, something good this way comes. The trouble dog is not moving mountains, but digging the ground that you're on. If it's true that good fortune gives no change, we got just what it takes. Call it up on my coat. Call her up on my coat. Trucks are pulling in for the show. The trucks are pulling in for the show. The grasshopper jump in the road. The grasshopper jump in the road. Kids, they're all running home. The kids, they're all running home. They know something good this way comes. Yeah, something good this way comes. The troubled dog is not moving mountains, but digging the ground that's on. If it's true that good fortune gives no chance, we got just what it takes.
That's just showmanship, the way a dominatrix uses a whip. Oh, and I think you're beautiful, you willowy dress. When they say you look horsey, it gives me conniptions. I say cultish is a better description. shoulders, your sunken cheeks and dishwashing. I say it makes you look exotic, they say it makes you lean. But they're just jealous, cause lots and lots of fellas have fallen happy victims to your charms. Those Collins who wear swastikas on their arms. Oh, I'd be ecstatic, my beautiful Annie, if you'd meet the paddock, the gimme puddin' Annie tonight. I'd ride you till the morning light. I can't but one could be so silly to suggest that you're a fella, not really a filly. I'm sure that's not true. At least six.
Sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
We take all kind of pills that give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we've never known is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy five copies for my mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover?
I got a freaky old lady who embroiders on my jeans. So gray-haired daddy driving my limo.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds. Won't really be blown. That's the blow that'll get on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Wanna see our pictures on the cover?
Smiling
face on the Rolling Stone.
Show love.
genuine Indian guru is teaching us a better way. We got all the friends that money can buy, so we never have to be alone. And we keep getting richer, but we can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone? On the cover of the Rolling
Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my
see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
Oh, yeah, on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Having a little bit of a technical problem there. I hope maybe it's going away now. I'll depend on the folks on the chat room to let me know. Everything sounds fine here. Everything looks fine here on our graphs and charts and all that sort of thing. So we shall see. We shall see. And like I said, all you folks on the chat room and otherwise, why, let us know if we're not doing as good as we're supposed to here, because we certainly don't want to give you an inferior sound quality on the program. That's one thing here. We in the Head On Radio Network, we always have a pretty doggone good sound on our network, and we aim to keep that, everybody. And thanks to all of you. We are hard to do that. 866-546-5254. Admit earlier on today that we have some new equipment working out, but we had it all tested and ready to go, so I don't know. Little gremlins out there. So, yeah, see, the stock market's up about 100 points after a horrendous day yesterday. Oh, my God. What a terrible day yesterday. Because, I don't know, down on Wall Street, any excuse. Yesterday, 679 points because they announced there was a recession. Did any on Wall Street not know? Did anybody on Wall Street not know that we're having difficult times? I don't know. So I'm telling us I'm told that we've. Told we lost the stream again. Okay. Well, we're trying to get it going here. Don't anybody go away. Don't anybody go away. We're trying to get it straightened out as we speak. Yes, as we speak. So, we'll see. I'm going to go to another tune here and be back in just a minute.
Baby, when I'm in love, I set out to get you into.
Cyndi Lauper, time after time. Love Cyndi. Is there anybody that doesn't like Cyndi Lauper? How could you not love Cyndi Lauper after all? 654-6252-54, 866-5254. Join us on the program if you like. We'll be talking Obsession that they announced yesterday. It's hard to believe. Hard to believe. Finally. somebody fesses up to it. It's frustrating, is it not? People out here have been losing jobs, losing their life savings, losing their pensions, their benefits, losing so much. And yet we've had a government with the head in the sand, took the old ostrich way out for years now, and just didn't want to tell us the truth. And why is that? Just for political reasons? I don't know. I wish I did know. But we've got people with troubled mortgages, and the regulators in the Bush administration, as we were talking earlier, didn't do anything about it. They delayed action on all these things that they were warned about, and we're now finding out. And the administration's blind eye to this pending crisis is absolutely emblematic of its governing philosophy. You know, their governing philosophy is always trust the market forces. And discount the value of some government intervention into the economy. That's the way they do it. And that belief has ushered in the most massive government in the 30s. And so far we're not seeing any benefit that fought to undermine the proposals by now either out of business or they're accepting billions in federal aid to because they insisted wouldn't happen. And many of the executives of these companies stay in their huge, high-paying jobs, even after they've been proven wrong. Over and over again, these people said, no, things are fine. Don't worry about it. Things are okay. Just a bump. Nothing to worry about here. Move along. Nothing to see. Back in 2005, they were faced with genuine signs that flashing, big flashing yellow signs saying that the housing market was in jeopardy. And bank regulators proposed new guidelines for the banks then. Housing market was in jeopardy. And bank regulators proposed new guidelines for the banks then. Today, in the midst of the worst housing recession in a, that list, five, it looks like a what-if list. What if the regulators told bankers exotic mortgage with bad credit? Banks would have been required efforts to verify that buyers actually had jobs and could afford the houses. And what if regulators proposed key mortgages so a string of defaults wouldn't be crippling to the economy and hurt everybody? This is one of the things that irks me about this more than we've got these people sitting on the sidelines. That, well, it's not my problem, mortgages, and this didn't happen, and it, you know, if they'd have just pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, just like, you know, that old story. Well, it should come as no surprise. And I can tell you from experience where I live, if you're trying to sell a home where I live right now, I don't care if you've made all your mortgage payments. I don't care if you've paid off your mortgage. I don't care if you own your home outright. I don't care what. If you're trying to sell a property where I live and in Phoenix and in Las Vegas and many places around this country, if you got a home to sell and you need to sell it because you're going to relocate or you wanted to downsize or for some financial reason, you've got trouble. And it's not because anything you did. It's not because you were late or slow in your mortgage or didn't pay. It's nothing to do with you. And this is the lesson that's from all this, that yes, sometimes we are our brother's keepers, and it's in our... didn't put a blind eye forth to all this. Attention to what was happening, and many of the folks who were well off, whose jobs weren't, whose incomes weren't affected, all of a sudden their homes are worth four. Again, not because of anything. They had foreclosures. You get massier where I live. And weapons. The banks put these homes on the market at away prices, short sale prices. And if you're selling your home, you've got to try and compete with that. If you've got a $1,000 home and the bank just repossessed a $300,000 home up the street, and they'll put it on sale for $175 to get rid of it, that doesn't bode well for you. You still got your job, you still got your income, you still got your house, but you look at the price of your house now because of what's happened to others. So, from time to time, folks, it does pay to keep track of what's happening to everybody else. And it's a dirty shame what's happened to the housing market in this country. Many people are home. So, you know, where are we in all this? I happen to think we're nowhere near the bottom. And this news of all this isn't any, it's, you are one of those idiots I talked about earlier in the program today that listens, believes, people like Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity's been saying all along that, hey, things is not a problem. Yes, we got a little slowdown. He blamed it on the media. He blamed Freddie Mac. Any place he could put the blame for this, he has done. And he has millions of people listening. That's right, Sean. I think we'll go on a mission on this program to keep track of Hannity, keep track of his ratings, see how they go now. See if enough Americans are still crazy, still stupid enough to listen to that man after, even after this election. How, you know, he disparaged the polls. Oh, no, they're not right. Can't believe the polls. Yeah, well, it turns out the polls were right. And Sean Hannity was wrong. You know, I can't think of this lady's name right now that was put on this panel, the bailout monitor panel. Isn't moving through the system. She said, you're just moving through the system. You have to ask why. And if the answer is that the banks don't have any money to lend, to push capital into their hands, as the Treasury Department's been doing over the last... The answer is that the potential borrowers, and here's the crux, if the answer is that the potential borrowers are getting less creditworthy with each passing day, pour all the money in the world into the banks to fix the problem, and it isn't going to do any good. You can give them $10 trillion in cash. Their potential customers aren't creditworthy. This isn't jobs if they don't have any jobs. That's money they've got out to lend. Now, does it? Truly is an ugly situation. The household financial health is profoundly tied to the economic health of this nation. And you can't repair this economy if you can't repair those families. It can't be done. I don't know where Paulson and them are getting all this, that just dump money into the market and everything's going to be all right. Because, like I said, if the bank down the street all of a sudden has got, you know, here where I live, all of a sudden got $500 million to loan, it doesn't make any difference if they have $500 million to loan if I can't borrow any of it, if I don't have the capacity to borrow any of it, my neighbor doesn't have the capacity to borrow it, they've lost his job, their income. All the money poured into the banks in the world isn't going to help. So I don't. I'm not smart enough, and I don't know enough about the problem, certainly. It's just, I don't know where everybody is, the people that are in power, as many of you know, a year ago, I predicted in 2000 as a year that the economy was going to collapse. All the warning signs that you could ever want were there. And it's hard to say that. And I'm going to go ahead and predict for 2009 the economic difficulty that we're seeing right now. And I hate to say this, but I like to deal in truth on this program. I think the economic problems we're experiencing right now are going to be transformed into some sort of an economic nightmare. I think things are going to get much worse in 2009. And it's not because the new coming in administration isn't going to try and do anything about it. It's just that this is a runaway train headed down with no brakes right now. It's going to take a long time to bring. I think that's where we're at. And try as they might, I don't think they're going to have that much to get this mess straightened out. And I believe, and I do believe that absolutely would do well to study the successes made by the Roosevelt administration. 76 years ago. The challenge facing these people in the next 8 years just can't be understated. I don't think a lot of people have any idea how bad this is. And there is a saving grace in all this. Can you even imagine how dark and bleak the situation, as bad as it is? Can you imagine how bad it would be at this moment if John McCain would have won this election? We'd probably have Phil Graham as the Secretary of the Treasury designate. And I've got news for you. If America had continued down that road, this country would have been finished. Every cloud, and I think right now the best thing that we can say about 2008 is it's the year that we were slap silly, woke up, and understood what these right wingers way back since Sir Ronald Reagan to the White House. I have finally awakened and been awakened and found out what's been going on, what's been happening to him. The transformational year. And in many ways, as bad as things may get, many of us have hope. More hopeful than I've felt in a long, long time, because believe you me, if McCain and Palin had been elected, there would be no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm confident that Obama and his people will work hard to get this mess straightened out. And I think he's probably got the best and the brightest around him. So, even though we're facing some dark times, I think we've got some good leadership in place, and I hope, above all, I hope everybody gives him a chance. This problem wasn't created overnight. It was just one Bush term, in two Bush terms. It's been going on since. It's going to take a considerable amount of time to get things put right again. But as the old saying goes, the old Chinese proverb, a thousand miles begins with a single step. We've got a man there now that can take, and the cabinet he's put, his advisors that he's putting around him, I have all the confidence up in the right direction. It's hard to sit here and talk this way about the economy, but what am I supposed to do? What are any of us supposed to do? Are we all just supposed to get together and, you know, that was the topic of conversation on Thanksgiving Day. It was the topic of conversation in families all around this country. We're all supposed to just get together and say, hey, it's not so bad. Cousin Jerry lost his job, and Ralph down the road here lost his house, and I was a fortune in, and Dr. Bills and all. Are we just supposed to just sit back and say to hell with it? Kind of hard to do. Very hard to do. But at least they finally admitted it. Just here where I live, I see Charlie Crist has halted foreclosures for 45 days here in Florida. Florida's bankers and credit unions announced yesterday that they would suspend foreclosing on homeowners for the next 45 days. I live in Lee County, Florida, and there was an article in yesterday's newspaper, maybe it was Sunday. They've appointed a judge and him a staff to wade through pending 25,000 pending 25,000 backlog that they haven't even been able to process. And so they're going to try and blip you and get through them. Can you imagine what that's doing to the real estate market here? Knowing that there are 25,000 foreclosures sitting out there ready to be processed. We had 2,700 last month, I believe it was. And just to show you how bad it was, I don't feel sorry for the kind of person I'm going to tell you about here. I do feel sorry for the single family homeowners. But I know somebody who bought six condos in a new project just, 3 years ago? Paid $359,000 for each of them. They were going to flip them. Six of them they bought. Market was rapidly rising, and after they paid $359 for them, they did go up in price. And they were going up in price so fast, they didn't sell them right away. They're going to wait. Paid $359 apiece for them. That's over $2 million. Guess what? They still got all six of them. And things are so bad, buy all six of them for $998,000 right now. Figure that one out. They had $1 million. I know somebody who hasn't made a single house payment for 11 months. Weekend that he's yet to hear a single word from his lending institution. They're far behind. And even some of the rich folks are having problems, facing tough competition and sliding new amid this economic meltdown. Trump Entertainment Resorts, right, the Donald, is going to have to skip a 53 for Monday on its 8.5% senior secured notes due in 2015 in order to maintain sufficient liquidity. The Atlantic City, New Jersey casino operator with about $1.25 billion worth of the notes outstanding said late Friday that it has a 30-day grace period to pay up and will meanwhile seek talks with its lenders to revamp its capital structure and improve its liquidity. The Donald is in trouble. Sheldon Adelson, big owner of casinos in the Orient and in Las Vegas, are in trouble. It's starting to reach out and grab everybody now. We think sometimes that people like Adelson and Donald Trump are immune from things like this. Au contraire, they're not. They're highly leveraged. Trump always goes that. Well, we're coming up on news at the top of the hour. You're listening at work. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes after the news. Don't go away.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
It all is coming together. We're very hopeful. In fact, we're very confident.
The AFL-CIO's Stuart Acuff in Georgia running a labor get-out-the-vote effort in the U.S. Senate runoff election being held there today. Acuff says labor's effort and the Democratic effort on behalf of candidate Jim Martin is highly energized.
We definitely have the energy on our side. We definitely have more enthusiasm on our side. In fact, I've never seen Democratic voters as enthusiastic as they are right now in a runoff election. I think that has a lot to do with momentum generated by the Barack Obama victory. It has a lot to do with the feeling that the country is changing. It has a lot to do with the sense that this is our time, our moment.
One issue hurting Republican incumbent Saxby Chambliss, Acuff says, is Chambliss' civil lawsuit filed by families of 14 workers killed in an incident at Imperial Sugar. Chambliss has a relationship with that company.
A U.S. senator to refuse to answer a subpoena involving the deaths of 14 people in a horrific industrial accident.
Newest skyscraper is seeking a class action lawsuit against their employer. Jesse Russell reports.
Black cafeteria workers at the new Comcast Center skyscraper in class action $200 million lawsuit against the company that hands services in the building. The workers claim they have skyscraper in class action $200 million lawsuit against the company that hands services in the building. The workers claim they have been called racist names and this came to job placement. Seven of the 11 workers filing this also alleged they were fired so the company could hire more white workers. The cafeteria is managed by the world's largest catering company, London-based Compass Group. Comcast has not been named in the suit and said in a statement that the company has contacted Compass and articulated the company's zero-tolerance policy regarding any racial discrimination or insensitive behavior toward employees.
J.P. Morgan has announced plans to lay off 9,200 employees of Washington Mutual. 3,400 employees will be let go from the bank's Seattle offices. 4,000 workers will be let go between now and the end of January. Will be part of the transition team.
Here is today's economic report. As if listeners to the Workers Independent News had any doubt, the National Bureau of Economics, the country has been in a recession since December of 2000. The Bureau is a group of economists who are in charge of determining when economic downturn, job losses, personal income, wholesale and retail sales, gross domestic product, and real wages are all taken into consideration when determining downturn.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get copped out. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast.
This is the goal. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. You are, in fact, listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Give us a call if you like, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We've been talking about the economy today, and as if it matters to anybody, I see the market is up about 270 points today. I suppose that helps someone, somewhere, I hope. Somebody's pension plan, perhaps. Ugly. 866-546-5254. Ugly. 866-546-5254. We are busy working on technical problems here today. I hope we have them, so we'll get the engineers in here tonight and look over it some more. Recession that we heard, and I know that's news to so many of you, Elizabeth, we're in a recession. I be sure and call and let them know tonight that we are officially in a recession now. I'm sure so many people hadn't realized it. I'll tell you one thing. A lot of restaurant owners around went by one of the most popular restaurants in the area last night, and it was closed. Closed up. And I'm talking about big time, and many of the chain restaurants around are closing up as well. So do you have Bob Evans where you live? You know, that's popular in the Midwest. We have them here in Florida, and I don't know how many states. I knew Bob. Bob Evans, Steak and Ale, Bahama Breeze, those type places are closing up. Sweet Tomatoes. I know this might not be big deals where you live, but they are around here, some of them. And it's just fascinating how many restaurants are closing. I think we're probably overloaded with restaurants anyway. Only the strong are going to survive this one. Mickey D's will make. But the economic, and I know it's news, is the National Bureau of Economic Research announced that the U.S. recession since December of 2007. Making of stories off of Think Progress, what most Americans have already believed about the state of the group, which the White House has previously pointed to as the determinative body for declaring a recession, said in a statement that the decline in economic activity after December 7th was large enough to qualify as a... No Sherlock. White House Deputy Press Secretary Tony Fratto commented on the news without ever actually using the word recession. Instead, Fratto released a statement saying the White House was focused on what they can do for the economy right now. It's not surprising that Friday would avoid the word recession, though economic analysts and experts were predicting in late 2007 and 2008 that the U.S. economy was likely to face a recession. Friday declared on January the 8th of 2007, I don't know of anyone predicting a recession. Well, they didn't talk to us. This wasn't the only time that the Bush administration dismissed the idea of a recession during the same period that this National Bureau of Economic Research now says a recession was underway. Quotes for you. We don't believe we're going to have a recession. Dick Cheney. Junior Bush, I think the experts will tell you recession, February of this year. The counselor, Lazier, February of this year. The answer is, I don't think we're. First of all, we're not in a recession. Junior Bush, April 22nd, that in a recession. The Council of Economic Advisers Chairman Edward Lazier, in May of 2008, in a recession. June of 2008, the Director of National Economic Council, Keith Hennessy. July, White House Budget Director Nussel said, I think we have avoided a recession. Now, here we've been in one for at least 8 months, and the White House Budget Director says we avoided it. And Dana Perino, in October 7th of this year, said, I don't think anybody could tell you right now we're in a recession or not. Less than a month ago, Fratto said it was irrelevant for the White House to admit that the U.S. is in a recession. And now that the recession is official, Fratto appears to still think admitting it is irrelevant. And of course, as I mentioned earlier on in the program today, George Will, not one of my favorite people. It's fascinating to me how many people look to George Will because with the language. The man is a walking thesaurus. He's free of terms. It doesn't make him all-knowing. It doesn't make him able about the economy with any great degree of rational economy, with any great degree of rationale. Said the economic crisis may only be a financial problem. Economy is doing rather well. On ABC's Sunday, conservative columnist George Will claimed that it's possible that the economy may only be suffering from a financial problem, while the rest of the economy is performing rather well. Now, I don't know. Somebody correct me where I'm wrong here. The economy may only be suffering from a financial problem? I thought the matter of the economy included financial problems, anything to do with finance. George Will said, all will be forgiven if things turn out well, and it's just possible that the economy is not going down the drain. 94-95% of all the mortgages in this country are being paid off in time. 94% of those who want to work are working. This may be much more of a financial problem, that is, one sector, while the rest of the economy is doing rather well. Will's rosy assessment of the economy is deeply misguided. It's clear that the financial industry isn't the only sector of the crisis mode in the industry lately. The construction is beset by one of the biggest drops in employment in the current economic downturn of almost 11% in October. The labor market. The economy lost nearly almost 1.2 million 10 months of 2008, including 240,000 in October. The houses in September 2008 were 33% lower than at the same time last year. The median price for existing homes fell by 9%, and prices for new homes by 9.1% during the same period. 1 in 11 mortgages is delinquent or in foreclosure. And the auto industry, I think you all know how bad that is. So for a guy like George Will to sit around and say, well, you know, it's just a financial problem. Most everybody's doing fine. It's just a little blip on the screen there. Don't worry about it, folks. Don't worry about it. These are the people. These are the people that, when things get bad for them, they're the first ones to scream. As you all know, things are fine. Things are just... But when them help us, help us, help us. I don't know. And it's the same old thing once again. We don't have enough money to provide the best schools for our... We don't have enough money for a decent wage. We don't have enough money to provide health care for keep our infrastructure, our bridges, our water systems, our sewers, and our roads from falling apart. We don't have enough money to keep millions of people from losing their homes to foreclosure. We don't have enough money to make sure all of our elderly citizens are humanely taken care of. And we don't have enough money to guarantee hardworking people a decent wage in this country. We don't have enough money to ensure that life-saving drugs that are sitting on the shelves in pharmacies are available to all Americans at an affordable price. But we sure as hell found enough money to bail out the speculators and the fat cats on Wall Street because they're too big to fail. You can fail, and you over there, you can fail. Little people can fail all over the place. To hell with the little people of this country. But if you got a penthouse apartment in a high rise in New York City and you fall on hard times, good old Uncle Sam going to run in and help you. That's just get you enough gold to keep you. Or print enough money. Go down to your Bureau of Printing and Engraving and say, hey, start print up a couple of truckloads of money and drop it off down at Wall Street. Because speaking of people being important, little people, did you hear what Harry Reid had to say today when they opened a new visitor center in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol? Spent $600, I believe it was, on this new visitor center. And it does look to be quite nice. Next time I'm there, I'm going to have to go see it. They spent $610 million on this baby. And Harry Reid made the statement. Where is it here? I had it here handy. The Capitol Visitor Center, which opened this morning, may have tripled its original budget and fallen years behind schedule. But Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid found a silver lining for members of Congress. Tourists won't offend them with their B.O. anymore. Harry Reid said, my staff tells me not to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, Harry Reid said in his remarks. In the summer, because of the heat and high humidity, you could literally smell the tourists coming into the Capitol. It may be descriptive, but it's true. But it's no longer going to be true, noted Reid. Additioned indoor space. And that's not all. We have many bathrooms here, as you can see, Reid continued. Souvenirs are available. 600 well spent. That is how our elected representatives, us evidently, just smelly people that come to Washington, D.C. Thank you, Harry. That makes me feel a hell of a lot better. Boy. Harry Reid. Even if he feels that way, and obviously he does, wouldn't you be smart enough in public? I don't know. 54-866-546-5254. We are going to pause for a quick break right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Well, the sun's done gone, no hammer, no light. The moon and the man will be rolling all night. Scorpio's up, bleeding old into pasture. And the hours behind are always too few. Can't begin to undo. Maybe you will never see another.
And he never gives an answer, but the fool knows.
back with you here on the Guy James Show. Thank you for joining us here today. And without further ado, let's head on over to the phone by the 546-5254. We have on the phone with us Dave from California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. One of the things that's been frightening me much is that there's been so much damage done to our country in recent years, to the environment and certainly to our economy, our industry, that I find myself wondering, even if a really conscientious, honest government found itself in place, could they turn it around? Could they undo what's been done? Could they get us back to when Truman and Eisenhower and Kennedy and Johnson had the economy going pretty well? It sounds like we're not going to start taxing the rich. It sounds like we're not going to start ending the war, and so therefore we're going to continue borrowing several billion dollars a week. I mean, I'm just being a realist. Is there a way out of this mess?
I hope there is. If it isn't, it's going to be catastrophe. You know, Dave, I as something I often wonder about, and you know, I spoke of a little earlier in the program today, are we past some sort of a tipping point? It would not only be horrendous just for this country, but for the rest of the world as well. Think of the financial catastrophe we'd bring on other countries. Yeah, not just us, but I don't know. Buddy Sanity earlier on, who wanted to run for president, they're walking. I have to admire everybody that was seeking, but some of them that were seeking the office, knowing what they're getting into here. Terrible, terrible mess.
Before the troops back as soon as we can. And start taxing the rich and stop borrowing the money. At least make a real abrupt effort to start trying to change it all. I don't hear that happening.
Well, I hope we've got a good enough group of people coming in that'll really give it the old college try. I have confidence that they will. I really do.
I hope you and I and everybody that can will be trying to put some idea in their head that this is there's an urgency about this. You know, our country may be already in unrepairable condition.
Yeah, I think about that possibility, that maybe even eventuality now and then, and it's it's hard to think of. I'm of that age, Dave. I was raised in this land where we could do no wrong. We were the mightiest, the powers, and all that, and I don't know, maybe it went to our head, but to think of this nation going down the drain is something to me that's almost unthinkable, and yet we have to ponder that now.
Key to it all, as I see it, is that the very greedy started buying our politicians. They had their hand out. America has some of the finest politicians. It wasn't true then. It sure as hell is now, because Halliburton owns, you know, these big corporations that are profiting from the war. You know, Obama's such an intelligent person. He must know what I'm saying. I mean, I don't see any other evidence. Politicians putting money in the pockets of big special interests putting money in the pockets of politicians. And politicians in turn saying, what do you want of me? You can take the graft and tell them to go to hell. It just ain't going to fly. They won't own you anymore. They won't buy you anymore.
Right.
That's got to somehow stop.
Well, anyway, I hope.
I love your show. I hadn't been able to listen to it for months, but I've had my computer down and in the shop almost continuously. But I've got your back.
Well, good. Good to hear that. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling today.
Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it. I do apologize for technical difficulties we're having today. We're working on it, and we'll continue until we make sure that we get it straightened out for you. I hate it when that happens. Not only bothers you, but it bothers you. We'll get it worked out. I see that out in California, see Dave calling from California, that son was elected. And he's starting to make comments stupid as coming out of his father. And I've raised this point before. What is wrong with people, a man like Duncan Hunter to the Congress and then his son? No, what kind of people? I just don't understand. If somebody could help me understand that, what, as I've mentioned many times before, what kind of people elect a Tom DeLay? What kind of people, knowing what kind of a filthy character Tom DeLay is, would elect him to the House of Representatives? Why would anybody do that? Just because of political ideology? I mean, knowing that the guy is a complete slimeball rat, which is the very nicest thing that I can think of about a guy like Tom DeLay, and yet people still elect him. Senator, what's his name from Oklahoma, as I often talk about, an idiot. And yet people send him to the United States Senator. I can Oklahoma take your pick of the senators. But I'm just fascinated. I don't know not. I don't think I ever will. What it is causes people to vote for some of these clowns. I mean, it does. There's some idiots on the Democratic side too. I'm not gonna play favorites. I don't know. I've spent a lot of time thinking about that over the year. The world is wrong with somebody. Vote for some of these people. I don't know. Sexy. I don't know how that's going today. From all indications, he will probably win re-election. How do you vote a man like Saxby Chambliss in, and then knowing that he's bringing Sarah Palin in to help him campaign? What does that say about the people in that district of Georgia? What does that say? If you're going to vote for Saxby Chambliss, and you've got Sarah Palin coming in to adoring crowds to speak for Saxby Chambliss to get him reelected, what does that say about the people in that district? Saxby Chambliss is another slimeball. And again, that's the nicest thing I can think of to say about him. Why would somebody put a man like that into office once again? I don't know. It does fascinate me. It really does. We're going to pause for a break once again. Still trying to fix our technical difficulties. So don't go away.
Open courthouse at 8 o'clock tonight. You just come in the door. Be careful when you get there. We hate to be beeping down the names of everybody turning left.
Oh, we're the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society. Here to save our country from a communist Birch society. Help us fill the ranks. To get this movement started, we need lots of tools and cranks.
Now there's no one that we're certain the Kremlin doesn't touch.
We think that Westbrook Pegler doth protest a bit too much. We only hail the hero from whom we got our name.
We're not sure what he did,
but he's our hero just the same. Oh, we're the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society.
Socialism is the ism dismalest of all.
Join the John Birch Society, there's so much to do. Have you heard they're serving vodka at the WCTU?
Well, you've heard about the agents that we've already named. Well, NCA has agents that are flatly unashamed.
We're after Rosie Clooney.
We've gotten Pinky Lee.
And the day we get the victory,
oh, we're the John Birch Society, the John Society. Norman Vincent Peale may think he's kidding us along, but the John knows he spilled the beans.
He keeps on preaching brotherhood,
but we know what he means.
We'll teach you how to spot him in the cities, or even Jasper Junction is just full of Bolsheviks.
The CFCC, there's no one left but thee and we.
Oh,
we're the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society.
I'm a communistic one.
Join the John Birch, the son of the Reds. We'll use our hands and hearts, and if we must, we'll use.
You want Justice Warren to be your commissar. Jeb, in there with the GAR. You cannot trust your neighbors or even next of kin.
If mommy is a commie, then you gotta turn her in.
Oh,
we're the John Birch Society. The John Birch Society. Fighting for the right to fight the right, fight for the right. Join the John Birch Society as we're marching on. We'll all be glad to see you when we're meeting in the dawn. In the dawn. In the dawn. We're
Ah, yes, the John Birch Society. I think the Republicans are trying to get that thing going again, the old John Birch Society.
Been doing lately?
Ah, yes. Wouldn't Sarah Palin... I know. I promised I wasn't going to bring up Sarah Palin again, but here she is back in the news. I wonder if the people in Alaska and that they're not... They don't even really have a governor right now. It's just little time in her... very little time in her office ever since the election. Instead, she's been out and about and chasing a dream. That's what it's going to be. I mean, Saxby Chambliss, maybe it's going to be Palin, Chambliss, and 12. Can they really be that desperate in the Republican Party? But real big place to drag in Sarah Palin, though, in the Republican Party. But real big place to drag in Sarah Palin, though. Is Purdy. I've never seen anyone more pulled into the Lyman family, to me, are the personification of Beverly Hillbillies, backwoods types who are just fascinated with cement ponds and the glittering lights. Golly. But it's come to the point, you just promise her a plane ride and she'll be there. The woman's obsessed with climbing the political ladder. And I hear she spent almost no time in her office in Alaska since that humiliation in November that she and John McCain suffered. And I see where Saxby Chambliss is called Big Daddy by his family. Big Daddy. With my apologies to my southern friends, the South really is just one big Tennessee Williams play, isn't it? I have to wonder. 866-546-5254, Things are going to get a little better here coming up soon. Dream that in how many days is it now, Junior Bush, a dream is going to come true. Dreamed about that day for a long, long time, as have many of you as well, if not all of you, as I know, are going to be glad to get rid of him. Have to see that smirk anymore. To not have him and what he's, all the great things that he's done for America. I have never felt, had feelings toward a politician like I have toward Junior Bush. And it will be a joyous day indeed when the man leaves Washington, D.C. I hope never to return. I hope he goes or stays out of the public limelight. I hope to never see his face again. That's how I feel about George W. Bush. Never felt that way about another politician. Not even Nixon. I loathed Nixon. Maybe I was too young to understand what was really going on. I don't know. But this man, this Junior Bush, has put this country through so much hell that what a relief it's going to be to get him out and out of public office forever. And I hope and pray that no more of the Bushes come along and see Jeb is now talking about how we need to set up a Shen's do like the British do. Jeb, go away. Dirty group of friends and go. Jeb's the one that always surprised first. And I guess that's the one Poppy about would run first and be the president of the United States. He also has some very illicit connections in the country. I just muster. But then again, look at Junior. Look how Junior got into Osley. Some insider trading. After failing at everything. This Bush clan has been terrible for America. From start to finish. Way back with Granddaddy Bush and their dealings with people from Europe who weren't so popular. I'll just be so glad when it's over, and I do have a dream that things will turn around in Washington, that it will be a joyous day on January the 20th of 2009. It's going to be such a pleasure to be there. I don't know what awaits. I got messages today from the folks that are running this thing and how they're going to pull it off. We're going to be doing the Rum Capitol Hill. And it almost seems as though this is going to be impossible. Maybe we'll have to hold overnight. I don't know. But originally we planned on doing a show on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday from Capitol Hill during the inauguration. And we hope to have lots of good interviews at that time, bring you the story of what's really happening in Washington and on the scene report, if you will, of what exactly is happening in Washington, D.C. Mark and I in Denver when we were there for the convention. So we'll do our best to do that this time. And I can't imagine what kind of a spectacle awaits. Millions of people. And I can't imagine what kind of a spectacle awaits. Millions of people. The police, where they come up with these estimates, they say as many as 4 million. I can't imagine that. I've been to Washington when there's been a massive crowd, and I can't imagine 3 or 4 times that many people. I just can't. But evidently, they're going to be there, so we're going to do it. What do you think about David Gregory taking over on Meet the Press? I'm not a David Gregory fan. I think he's very boring. And I'm surprised that he is the one being picked to take over on Meet the Press. I was hoping maybe they'd get in there. I really was. Well, it's not. Still got time for a call or two. 846-5254. Bailout stuff today, but we're not going to have a chance to do it. I with the technical problems we've had today, and I probably shouldn't keep going on about it. But we've got a big challenge ahead of us in this country. And the economy just isn't working for ordinary families or the nation. It's up. As you all know, I don't have to tell you, I've experienced myself again this week, healthcare costs have just absolutely exploded. College costs, wages aren't keeping up. Our jobs are getting shipped overseas. We've lost about 3 million men in the last 5 years, and now new technology jobs are heading in the same direction. Many, many companies are cutting back on their benefits and getting rid of pensions and passing on health care costs to the workers. Families are scrambling to stay afloat. Just a couple of years ago, for the first time since 1933, I know you all remember the story. It was widely reported that households have spent more than they earn, and household debt is at record levels as basic expenses for everybody, like housing and transportation, all consume a record share of our income. And it's come to the point where one income can rarely support a family. Families are working, and so often alone after school, and it makes it hard for families to find time together. Sickness or medical emergencies. Family leave policies, daycare, and after-school program reality that we face. Got a call coming in. Let's, when it gets through, switching over. Hi, you're on the Guy.
Hello, Guy. How are you today?
Good.
Well, I'm mad.
Well, why?
If I can work, customer service, and get someone that can barely speak English because they're in India or some cotton picking place, I'm going to scream and run.
Bob, right?
Yeah.
My name is...
You're in India, they go, I'm not allowed to tell you my location.
Mm-hmm. I know. I had a problem with that myself recently where I basically could not understand them. Just couldn't do it. And that's okay. I mean, I you know, I'm not prejudiced against anybody here, but you ought to be able to speak the language if you're going to do it. And
you know what, Guy? I'm going to hang up because I have so much static on my phone, I can't hear you.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry,
I'll call
too.
I'll you some other time.
All right. We're hearing you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Just guess it's been a day for that sort of thing. All sorts of problems. But we've got all these problems economically, and when I'm down to it, for the nation, the story isn't a whole lot better. America, we are blessed with natural resources and millions of people here, but we're living on borrowed money, and we're not what we need for the future. We've done national debt, as you all know, over the past 7 years, and we've squandered the money. Military actions, ill-begotten military actions, and steps to end our dangerous addiction to foreign oil or regain our economy. We're hemorrhaging jobs, running dangerously high deficits, and they're going to get even higher. And we've got to change course. It's been a massive failure of the conservative ideology. He's completely had his way since he's been in. He's got everything accomplished in Congress just about that he tried to get through there, and he was the self-declared CEO administrator. And he pushed through his tax cuts that would naturally favored the rich and the corporations, and he got Congress to pass legislation that promoted privatization and deregulation and corporate trade policies. They've weakened worker rights at home and abroad. They've rolled back environmental and consumer protections, and they've blown a huge hole in the federal budget. And the results are working for the elite still, up until recently. Those people that Bush called his base. And up till just very recently, corporate profits were up, and the CEOs and the top management were making huge amounts of money. Still are. There's still some money. The managers of these corporations, and I see the big three, one of them is the guy said he'll cut his salary down to a buck if Congress gives them the money they need. Now, there's some. Income inequality is the worst it's ever been. Make as much as the bottom 60%. And in 2005, I had to look this up. Someone told me this, and I didn't believe it. The average Standard & Poor 500 CEO pay was $11.75 million. $11,750,000, the average Standard & Poor 500 CEO pay. That's just incredible when we've got people flipping burgers at McDonald's for $6 in monthly debt payments than ever. Got a huge number of children level. There's so much work to be done. So done. But I have faith that it can get people coming in. Let's give them a chance. Let's work with them. Let's see that they get it done. Thanks for joining us today. Sorry about the technical problems. We'll have them work. To Billy Shears, music director, to Bob and the whole gang, Mark Levine coming up right after this show with a good and informative and entertaining program as always. You're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And don't you forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later, gang.